Shalom! Holy Scriptures and Israel is a ministry designed to share with the Jewish people the good news of the Lord Jesus, Yeshua the Messiah, and to instruct Christians on the Jewish roots of their faith. And now, teaching God's Word from a Hebrew Messianic perspective, here is Gideon Levitam.
Shalom, my dear friends and dear brothers and sisters. We are going to continue in our study of the Gospel of Matthew, and we are going to look into Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 to 34. If you have your Bibles available, please open your Bible to Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 to 34. And please follow me as I'm reading these verses. Again, we are in the portion of the Gospel of Matthew, where the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, saw the multitude, went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth, and he taught them. And in these teachings, as he taught them in the Gospel of Matthew, this is the first discourse of the Lord Jesus the Messiah that is found in the Gospel of Matthew. It is called, of course, the Discourse on the Mount or the Sermon on the Mount, which is found in Matthew 5, verse 1 to Matthew 7 and verse 29. And we are right in the middle of this first discourse called the Discourse on the Mount or the Sermon on the Mount. So in chapter 6, verse 19, we read, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eyes be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eyes be evil, the whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon." Verse 25, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. And so, beloved brothers and sisters, I will be stopping here right now in verse 34, the second half of Matthew chapter 6. And so, here we are. We are in the middle of the sermon or the discourse on the mount, Matthew 5:1 to Matthew 7, verse 29, the first of the discourses that our Lord Yeshua, the Messiah, had shared with his people Israel when he was here in the land of Israel, whether he was in the Galil or later on Mount of Olives and elsewhere. But throughout his public ministry, he shared these discourses, and this discourse is a fascinating sermon, fascinating discourse that he taught in the north of Israel, in the Galil. And so, this sixth chapter, beloved brothers and sisters, is an important chapter, because in the first 18 verses of Matthew chapter 6, the Lord Yeshua, Jesus the Messiah, emphasized the importance of not being a hypocrite. This is very important because again and again he mentioned in these verses the importance of not being a hypocrite. What is a hypocrite? It's one that has two faces. The one is like an actor that is acting to one in such a way, to the other in another way. In other words, it's really not having a reality in the heart and just giving a false appearance. And you know how it can happen in our own life if we are not searching our heart and staying close to the Lord. In Matthew 6 and verse 2, Yeshua said, Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound the trumpet before thee as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets. Later on in verse 5, he said, And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. In verse 16, Yeshua, Jesus the Messiah, said, Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. You see, again and again, the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, is seeking to convey the need to have truly a heart that is following after him and not being a hypocrite. So in verses 1 to 18, Yeshua emphasized the importance of not to be a hypocrite. And if you remember, the portion of the first 18 verses of Matthew chapter 6, the Lord Jesus the Messiah emphasized the importance of how to give alms without to be a hypocrite. Secondly, when they pray, prayer is rising to God. Secondly, the Lord emphasized the example of how to pray and not to be a hypocrite. And thirdly, he emphasized the example of fasting, how to fast and not to be a hypocrite. In other words, one must have the desire to seek to live a righteous life, not only externally that everyone will see it, but also to have a true righteous living before the Lord. To remind us all that in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 20, Yeshua said to the disciples, he's saying to you, he's saying to me, he's saying to those who claim to believe on him, he said in verse 20 of chapter 5, "For I say unto you that except your righteousnesses shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven." And of course, every true believer have received the righteousness of God because we have accepted the finished work of our Lord Yeshua the Messiah. That's why the Apostle Paul could say in Romans chapter 1, "For I am not," this is verse 16, Romans 1:16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Messiah, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, for therein," in the gospel, "the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." So every true believer received the righteousness of God because we have acknowledged that we are sinners and we have accepted the finished work of our Lord Yeshua Jesus the Messiah. But you see, in the time that the Lord was here on earth, he didn't die as yet, but he sought to explain to his disciples and those that followed him the importance of embracing him, embracing the fact that they need God's righteousness and not to seek to establish their own righteousness as the Pharisees sought to do so in their days, and as Pharisees in Christendom seek to do it in the days in which you and I live in today. So we learn in the previous section of Matthew chapter 6 that a proper attitude must be towards giving alms, secondly, towards prayer, and thirdly, toward fasting. That's what was covered in Matthew 6, verses 1 to 18. Now, in verses 19 to 34, there are two additional points that Yeshua is explaining to the believers, to the disciples, and those that follow after him as he's there on the mountains in the north of Israel in Galilee. These two additional important lessons are to have a right attitude towards money, towards mammon, towards earthly possession, verses 19 to 24, and secondly, to have a right attitude towards anxiety or worries, how quickly God's people worry, because part of life is that God's people, as well as all humanity, having challenges and difficulties and the testing, and how do we relate to trouble in our life? Are we having anxiety? Do we worry? Do we take up thoughts continuously? And how do we get help from the Lord to rise above all the anxieties and worries that come into our lives? So notice this, beloved brothers and sisters, in verses 19 to 24, there are four principles that we learn from our Lord Yeshua, Jesus the Messiah, about earthly treasures. This is verses 19 to 24. Notice what he says. First of all, the first principle that he's sharing with the disciples is verses 19 and 20, where he says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal." So here we learn in these verses, verses 19 and 20, that the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, points to the need to have a proper understanding as to earthly possession. You see, he's encouraging the disciples to evaluate things here in this world before we make decisions in our life as to how we handle treasures here in this world. Important for us all to realize that there are temporary treasures that we have here on earth that will not last. But there are also treasures that are eternal, and that they are spiritual, that we cannot neglect to trust and to follow after. And so he said, "Lay not up for yourself treasures upon the earth." Why? "Where moth and rust does corrupt, where thieves break through and steal." But again, notice that, "Lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth cannot rust and cannot get corrupted, thieves cannot come and steal." In other words, realize that there are heavenly treasures that are much more important than the earthly treasure. Now, it doesn't mean that one cannot save funds and money to take care of his family, to purchase a home, to provide for the cares that one has in life. But the priority must be remembered in the life of the followers of our Lord Yeshua, Jesus the Messiah. To remind you that even historically, when the people of Israel came out of the land of Egypt, and they were on the way to the promised land, to remind you that God wanted to teach the very same principle to his people Israel as he wanted to teach this principle to his people, the assembly, the church, the people of God, who are today, as the Lord built the ecclesia today. Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 11, we read, "Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God, in not keeping his commandments and his judgment and his statutes, which I commanded thee this day, lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses and dwell therein, and when thy herd and thy flock multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart," notice that, "then thy heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led thee through the great and terrible wilderness." In other words, beloved brothers and sisters, it is an important principle in every dispensation is to trust in the Lord. And although the Lord provides and cares for his own people, yet one cannot neglect to realize that our trust should be in the Lord, and to search and make decisions in our life for spiritual treasures, for eternal treasures, for that which has value of eternal value. King David said to our people Israel of old in Psalm 62 and verse 10, "Trust not in oppression, and become not vain in robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart upon them. God might bless God's people, his people, but the wealth of this world should not be that which one trusts in, but to trust in the Lord. When riches, and if riches increase, lay not your heart upon them. Don't forget of the need to have spiritual treasures that are important in the life of God's people. In Psalm 49, again, it is a psalm for the son of Korach. We read in verse 6, they that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him. For the redemption of the soul is precious, and it ceases forever, that he should still live forever and not see corruption. In other words, treasures, earthly treasures cannot buy souls, cannot save, cannot redeem a soul. It's good to use earthly possession in order to invest in the gospel work and to spread the word of God, to assist in a missionary work, to assist in the ministry of God's word. But the earthly possession cannot redeem anyone. In fact, it was the apostle Shaul, Paul, who wrote to Timothy, and he reminded Timothy concerning richness or wealth that one might have. And in 1 Timothy chapter 6, we read in verses 9 and 10, but they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition, for the love of money is the root of all evil. Notice he doesn't say, for money is the root of all evil, but the love of money. Thank God for those whom the Lord blessed and used their wealth for blessing to God's people, but the love of it and the occupation beyond what is needful with earthly possession is the root of all evil. In the same chapter, Apostle continue to say, verse 17, charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. So in these first two verses, verses 19 and 20, we have the first principle that the Lord is teaching concerning the earthly treasures. The first principle is recognize that you need to trust in heavenly treasures and not to be overly occupied with earthly treasures. And that's why he said, lay not up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust does corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven. Spiritual and eternal treasures is that which the Lord Jesus the Messiah is encouraging the disciples to be occupied with. But notice now, he continues in the second principle that Yeshua the Messiah teaches his disciples is found in verse 21 of Matthew chapter 6. He is encouraging his disciples to realize that where his heart will be, there will his treasure be. Notice it says in verse 21, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. In other words, the heart, if your heart is set on earthly treasure, your heart will follow earthly treasure. But if your heart will be occupied with treasures in heaven, therefore your heart will follow after the heavenly treasure, the spiritual and eternal treasure. So he He's saying in verse 21, is the second principle, not only that you have to make a decision in life to focus on heavenly treasures, because that is eternal and that is spiritual, but realize that if your heart is occupied continuously with earthly treasure, your heart will follow after that treasure. So where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You know, it is very interesting because we know from Scripture that the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, ought to be the one that our heart treasures after. In Colossians chapter 2, we do read, beloved brothers and sisters, concerning the person of the Lord, verse 2 and 3, that their heart might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Messiah, of Christ, Christos, Mashiach. Notice, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. In chapter 3 of Colossians, the Apostle Paul said in verse 1 and 2, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where the Messiah, where Christ sitteth, on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above and not on things on the earth. That is the lesson that we learn from the Lord Jesus, the Messiah. In other words, where our heart is, or where the treasures that our heart treasure after, there will our heart be also. That is the second principle that we learn from the Lord in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 21. In other words, set the Lord Jesus the Messiah as the treasure that is in your heart, that will fill our hearts. And how we need to have the Spirit of God help us to set our affection on the person of Yeshua HaMashiach, who loved us and gave himself for us. Notice the third principle that we have in Matthew 6, now verse 22 and 23. We read, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eyes be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? And so in verse 22 and 23, Yeshua gives his disciples the third principle to learn as to our earthly treasures here in this world. And he's emphasizing to the disciples to be careful not to have an evil, selfish heart, which will cause us to do wrong. In other words, when our eye is occupied, the eye of our heart is occupied with that which is evil and not for the Lord, what is going to happen? It will cause us to go astray. And so the light of the body is the eye. If your eye be single, the whole body shall be full of light. The body will go where the eye is. But then he continues, he says, but if thine eye be evil, not single, not focusing on the Lord, the whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? You see, beloved brothers and sisters, if our eye is not focused on the Lord, if we are not careful to be occupied with the Lord, then how quickly we can turn away from being occupied with our Lord Yeshua, Jesus the Messiah. What happened? It will lead us to an evil direction, and it will not cause us to be focused on the Lord. We might start good, but the human nature is so sinful, and our eye need to be set on the Lord. The light of the body is the eyes. And from the eyes it comes to the heart. There's a verse in Deuteronomy chapter 15 and verse 9 where we read, "Beware that there be not a thought in thy wicked heart, saying, the seventh year, the year of release, is at hand, and thine eye be evil." Notice the heart and the eye. "Thy eye be evil against thy poor brother, and thou givest him not, and he cry unto the Lord against thee, and it be sin unto thee. Thou shalt surely give him, and thine heart shall not be grieved when thou givest unto him, because that for this thing the Lord thy God shall bless thee in all thy works, and in all that thou puttest in thine hands to do." So what is the lesson here? The poor among the people of Israel, the time would have come in the seventh year he should be released from being a slave, being dependent upon the brother that used him because he became a poor and he became his servant. So he said the seventh year has arrived, you need to be released. The year of release is at hand, and thine eye be evil against the poor. In other words, you might say, no, I don't want to release him after 7 years. I want him to continue to serve me, to be a slave for me. And the Lord said, be careful, because your eye and your heart must be single, occupied with that which is right. And beloved brothers and sisters and dear friend, this is that which is human nature within us when we do not allow the Spirit of God to lead us and to cause us to be occupied with the Lord. And therefore, in verse 22 and 23 of the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6, the third principle that Yeshua the Messiah teaches his disciples about earthly treasures is that one need to be careful not to have an evil and selfish heart, which will cause one to do the wrong thing. And you see, that is why it is so important to have an heart and an eye that is set on the person of the Lord. Because when our heart or the eye of our heart is where we get direction as the Lord lead us by His Spirit, we will not go into this darkness and evil, such as what we read in Deuteronomy chapter 15, verses 9 and 10, with the danger that our people of Israel were in, as the Lord have guided them and instructed them not to do so. In other words, when the eye is single, focus on the Lord, the heart is right with the Lord, it will help to do the right thing and not to walk in darkness. Remember, John 3 tells us in verse 19 that men love darkness by nature rather than light. That's our human nature. And that's why, with the help of the Spirit of God, one can have his eye single, focus on the Lord and get help from Him, and it will cause our hearts to do the right thing. Now, finally, with regard to the fourth principles, is to learn about earthly treasures that Yeshua teaches His disciples here. Verse 24, the Lord Yeshua, is challenging His people not to have a divided affection. A divided affection. We read in verse 24, listen to this. "No man," that's including you, including me, including everyone, "no man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Mammon is a Hebrew word that speaks of material things that are found here in this world. So, what we learn from these verses that it is so important to have undivided affection towards the Lord. Again, to realize that if earthly treasures guides and take control of the life of the child of God, as it says here, no man, we are not able to do, none of us, no man can serve two masters. And so the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, is emphasizing the fact that it is so important not to have an undivided affection towards the Lord and the things of the Lord. And so if riches increase, and God may have blessed his own people, one has to realize that it is a gift from God, and every good thing and perfect thing came from above, from the Father of light, with whom there is no variableness, no shadow of turning. So God bless his people spiritually, materially, those that he provided for them. And therefore, to realize that it should not divide our affection from the Lord, and to use what he provided for his people for his own glory. It's very interesting to see in the history of Israel of the warning that Israel received from the prophets in 1 Kings chapter 18. If you remember, the prophet Eliyahu spoke to the nation of Israel to not to have two opinions. In other words, not to have a divided heart to worship God, but also to worship others. And if you remember in 1 Kings chapter 18, you read of Eliyahu, where he came to the nation, and Eliyahu came unto all the people, and he said, how long shall ye halt between two opinions? If Jehovah be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. And so Eliyahu challenged his people of Israel, and eventually the people of Israel said, the Lord, he is God. Verse 39 of 1 Kings chapter 18, the Lord used Eliyahu, Elijah, to restore the people of Israel. And when all the people saw it, after there was the evening sacrifice, and how God have consumed the sacrifice that Elijah put on the altar there, all the people saw it, they fell on their faces, and they said, the Lord, he is God, the Lord, he is God, Jehovah, he is God, Jehovah, hu ha Elohim, Jehovah is God, the Lord is God. And you can see that there was a change in their hearts. Sadly, later on, according to 2 Kings, we do read that there was a mixture there, and eventually the Samaritans, the people of the area who live in the Shomron, in Samaria, they, on the one hand, they believe in the Lord, in Jehovah, but they also believed in other idols. It says in verse 32 and 33 of 2 Kings chapter 17. So they feared the Lord, but then notice, and they made themselves of the lowest of them priests of the high places, which sacrifice for them in the house of the high places. It says in verse 33, so they feared the Lord and served their own gods with small g. You notice that what happened? To have a divided affection is not honoring unto the Lord. And so, beloved brothers and sisters, the principle that we learn here, the four principles that we learn in Matthew 6, verses 19 to verse 24, is so important to value things that are spiritual and eternal more than valuing things that are temporary. Secondly, to understand that the heart will follow where the treasure is in our life. Thirdly, not to have an evil and selfish heart, otherwise it will lead us astray. And fourthly, not to have a divided affection, and therefore to be led astray, and to follow the Lord. Ye cannot serve God and mammon, material things of this world. We need the Lord's help for that, and that's why Yeshua said, no man can serve two masters. We can only do so as the Lord helps us to lead his own people here in this world. And now, beloved brothers and sisters, following these instructions of verses 19 to 24, Yeshua continues now in verses 25 to the end of the chapter, to verse 34, to give additional six reasons as to why not to worry in our life, but to trust God. So you notice this? We have learned so far in our studies of chapter 6 of the Gospel of Matthew how important to have a right attitude towards alms, to have a right attitude towards in prayer, to have a right attitude towards fasting, to have a right attitude towards money, towards earthly possession. And finally, in verses 25 to 34 of Matthew 6, to have a right attitude towards anxiety or towards worrying in our life, because oftentimes God's people do worry, and how we are to handle when things in this world cause us to worry. So in these verses, 25 to 34, 5 to 6 reasons as to why God's people are not to worry, but to trust in the Lord. First of all, in verse 25a, do not worry. Why? Because the Lord commands it. So therefore, we need to obey that. Notice that, verse 25a. Therefore, I say unto you, here's the command, take no thought for your life. This is a command. That is just a command. And Yeshua, Jesus the Messiah, want us not to worry. That word for take no thought is basically do not worry. It's the word that we often read in various passages in the Word of God, take no thought. In other words, the Greek word is merimnao, merimnao, and that simply means, in the Hebrew it says, do not worry, al tidagu, do not worry. And it's mentioned often in this section. Verse 25, take no thoughts. Verse 27, taking thoughts. Verse 28, take ye thoughts. Why take ye thought? Verse 31, therefore take no thoughts. You notice that? Verse 34, take therefore no thoughts. That word, be not anxious. Do not be troubled. Do not worry. So the first thing that we learn as to the proper attitude towards anxiety is the command of the Lord. Verse 25, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life. Do not worry about your life, because our life belongs to the Lord, and life continues on, and the Lord wants us to be occupied with him and not to be weary here in this world. Now, again, beloved brothers and sisters, easy to read that text, but we know our hearts, because there are so many things in this world that is taking place in the life of anyone, not only the believers, but all people, that cause anxiety, cause one to worry. But as believers, we have help from the Lord in the help of the Spirit of God through God's word to assist the believer who goes through trials that is common unto all men, all people. And so the first help of the Lord, the first principle to learn here is that do not worry because the Lord commanded, therefore obey it. Secondly, in the same verse 25, but in the second part of verse 25, we do read, what shall ye eat or what shall ye drink? Don't worry, take not your thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what shall you put on? Notice that, is not the life more than food, more than meat, and the body more than raiment? The second reason, do not worry, be not anxious, because life is more than just food and clothes. And the one that can satisfy and meet our need in this life is the person of the Lord Jesus, the Messiah. And therefore, to realize that our needs are able to be met by the Lord because life is more than only food and only clothes. How we are getting dressed and what we are going to eat, which is common to all of us. Men shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord. We read in Deuteronomy chapter 8. So people need to eat, and people need to clothe themselves, but the Lord helps us here in this verse 25b by challenging God's people not to worry. Not to worry. Take no thoughts for your life. Why? Because he says, as to what you eat, what you drink, know what your body is wearing, because, notice he said, for your body, he said, what shall you put on? Because is it not more than just life? In other words, the life is more than food, and the body is more than just raiment. In other words, one need the Lord's help, trust in him in order not to worry and to realize that life is more than food and clothes, and therefore do not worry. This is the second counsel that the Lord gives to the disciple. Notice in verse 27, 28, and 29, we have the third counsel that the Lord gives to his disciples on the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 6, verse 27 to 29. Do not worry, because no one through worry can add anything to his height or anything to his life. Listen to these verses, 27, 28, and verse 29. He continues to say 26. First of all, behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are ye not much better than they? Notice first of all in verse 26, do not worry, because if God cares for the birds, be assured that he values you more than the birds. That's what we learn from verse 26. This is the third advice that Yeshua counseled the disciples. Why not to worry? Verse 26, because notice, look at the fowls of the air, the birds. They do not sow, neither do they reap. They do not gather into a barn. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are ye not much better than they, beloved brothers and sisters? You see, in third counsel that the Lord gives, is saying, look at the birds of the air, how the Lord takes care of them. He will care for you who belong to him much more than he will care for the birds. They do not sow, they do not reap, they do not gather into barns, yet they are receiving all that which they need, and they continue on to live. And therefore you, those are the disciples of the Lord, be sure that ye are much better than they. In other words, you are valuable to God because you belong to Him. The human race and the redeemed belong to the Lord Yeshua, Jesus the Messiah. And therefore, one must realize that he or she will be taken care by the Lord who loves His own people, who gave Himself for His own people. There is a verse in Lamentation chapter 4 where it says, I'll read verse 1, how is the gold become dim? How is the most fine gold changed? The stones of the sanctuary are poured out in the top of every street. The precious sons of Zion, comparable to fine gold, how are they esteemed as earthen pitchers, the work of the hands of the potter. In other words, the children of Zion, the people of Israel, the children of Zion, are precious to God. And when the Babylonian came and destroyed the temple and carried away all the treasures of the temple and spread it all over and took them to the land of Babylon, also the sons of Zion, the Jewish people, were carried away, but they were precious in the eyes of the Lord. They were precious in the eyes of the Lord, and therefore the Lord cares for you, for me, beloved brothers and sisters, those of us that are redeemed and belong to Him today. We are precious in His eyes. The Lord Jesus, the Messiah, loved His own. Having loved His own which were in the world, He loved them unto the end. He sacrificed Himself. He became a sacrifice in order to redeem the people, a people for Himself. We read in Ephesians chapter 5, it says, walk in love as the Messiah also has loved us and has given Himself for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. And therefore, God take care of the birds, how much more He will take care of His own people who are precious. Whether it is Israel or whether it is the assembly, God's people are precious in His eyes. The fourth counsel that Yeshua gave to the disciples in verse 27, 28, and 29, where we read, which of you, taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. The fourth counsel, not to worry, that the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, is instructing the disciples, is found in verse 27, 28, and verse 29, because no one thought of worry can add anything to neither our height nor anything in our life. All the worries that we go on and worry do not change anything. It doesn't add anything to us. In fact, it causes things to be heavier in the life of God's people. And therefore, verse 27, 28, and 29, do not worry, because no one through worry can add anything to his height or anything to his life. And the Lord giving an example by saying, why take ye thought, verse 28, for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field. Look at the flowers. How they grow. They do not work, they do not toil, neither do they spin in the field. And yet, I say unto you, that even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Takes us back to 1 Kings chapter 10, beloved brothers and sisters, when the queen of Sheba came to King Shlomo And we read, "Now when the queen of Sheba had seen all Solomon's wisdom, and the house that he had built, and the meat on his table, and the sitting of his servants, and the attendance of his ministers, and the apparels of his cupbearers, and the ascent by which they went up into the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. And she said to the king, 'It was a true report that I heard in mine own land of thine acts and of thy wisdom. However, I believed not the words until I came, and mine eyes have seen it, and behold, the half was not told me. Thy wisdom and prosperity and exceedest the fame which I heard. Happy are thy men, happy are these thy servants, which stand continuously before thee, and that hear thy wisdom.'" This is 1 Kings 10, verse 4 to verse 8. And you see all the wisdom and the and whatever Solomon had, including the arrays, the manner in which he was dressed, all this was according to the Lord Jesus the Messiah. "I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these," and he meant the lilies of the field. So not to worry is the counsel of our Lord Yeshua the Messiah, because worry can never add anything to our height or anything to our life. Therefore, trust in God. Cast your confidence upon Him. The fifth counsel that we have here in Matthew 6, verses 30, 31, and 32 is not to worry, because worry reveals our lack of faith in God and in His love and care for us. And so we do read, beloved brothers and sisters, in verse 30, "Wherefore, if God so clothes the grass and the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall He not clothe you more, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or whither withal shall we be clothed?'" Continuing in verse 32, "For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things." In other words, beloved brothers and sisters, the fifth counsel that the Lord gives His disciples is that worry reveals lack of faith in God and in His care, loving care for His people. And He's using this expression, "O ye of little faith." In chapter 8, in verse 26, He saith unto them, "Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith?" Because there was a storm, and the disciples were in the ship. And a storm would cause anyone to turn to God for help. And it reveals our little faith. You remember that Peter called the Lord to come to walk on the water, according to the Gospel of Matthew later on in chapter 14, and the Lord called him to walk on the water. And when Peter set his eyes away from the Lord, he began to sink. He walked on the water, but he did not continue because his eyes were fixed now on the storm and the waves. And the Lord said to him, "O thou of little faith." Well, he had little faith, but his little faith was more faith than the disciples who remained in the boat. But the lesson is important for us all, beloved brothers and sisters, that worry, which is natural for us all, and we need the help of the Lord, but it only shows that we are lacking in trusting the Lord when that is occurring in our life. And again, all of us can ask for grace and mercy from the Lord, because this creeps in, the lack of trust in the Lord, the constant worry that rising in our lives reveal to us the need to turn to the Lord. And that's why in the last verses of Matthew chapter 6, beloved brothers and sisters, in these final verses, Yeshua, Jesus the Messiah, gives us the counsel as to how to help us in worrying less or not worrying and trusting in Him. In verse 33, and I'm reading this verse, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." You see, in verse 33, the Lord is saying, you should love the Lord, love God, seek His kingdom in everything else in your life, and all these things shall be added unto you. All the things that you need of, the food, the clothing, all the material possessions that you need in order to continue to live here in this world, not to trust in them, but to the needs that one have in his or her life, the Lord promised to provide for his own people as they are setting their affection on him and seeking the kingdom of God. Seek first the kingdom of God, the notice, and his righteousness, not your own, not the righteousness of mankind in general, not the righteousness of Pharisees in days of old, not the righteousness of Pharisees in present day, but seek his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Continuing in verse 34a, Yeshua says, do not worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow's worry will have its own worry tomorrow. We read in verse 34, the first part, take therefore no thought, you see, don't worry for tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. In other words, things will take place tomorrow as they are taking place today. So, don't worry about what will happen tomorrow. Take care of the things of the present day. Trust in the Lord, he's saying to us all. Tomorrow, there will be other thoughts and troubles and worries that will rise tomorrow. Let tomorrow deal with tomorrow, but today, every day as we live our life, may the Lord help us to therefore take no thought, not to worry about tomorrow, but to deal with today as we turn to the Lord for help. And finally, in verse 34, at the second part of verse 34, remember that today's trouble is enough for today. He just mentioned about tomorrow, but notice at the end of this chapter, he says, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. It is sufficient. The evil that is going on, the challenges that you experience in your life today is sufficient for today. And therefore, today, trust in the Lord and have him help and lead you not to worry and to commit things unto him. And therefore, there is a need to pray. God's people are exhorted in every dispensation to just to pray and to turn to the Lord in prayer, beloved brothers and sisters. The psalmist of Israel says in verse 4 of Psalm 34, I sought the Lord and he heard me, David said, and he delivered me from all my fears. I sought the Lord, pray to the Lord. He will deliver you from all your fears. The Lord is instructing his disciples. You remember what Peter said to the early believers in 1 Peter 5 and verse 7. Peter said, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you, beloved brothers and sisters. We cannot trust ourselves, but we can trust in the Lord. We cannot trust ourselves, but we can trust in the Lord. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Corinthian in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. He did say to them, as they were needed instruction, he said in verse 3, 4, and 5, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, to the pulling down of stronghold, casting down imagination, and every high thing that exalt itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ," to the obedience of the Messiah. Therefore, beloved brothers and sisters, we need to pray, to share with God the things that are on our heart, as David said in Psalm 34, that I sought the Lord, he heard me, and he delivered me from all my fear. Peter, casting all your cares upon him, because God does care for us. Beloved brothers and sisters, and realize that we cannot trust ourselves. We cannot trust ourselves, but we can trust God. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Shlomo, Solomon said to the people of Israel in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. May the Lord help us, beloved brothers and sisters, to trust in him, to follow after him, and to commit every challenge in our life to the Lord Yeshua, Jesus the Messiah. And he is able to deliver us from our worries that we have here in this world. Well, my dear friend, God bless you. Until the next time, we say to you all, Shalom, Shalom.
You have been listening to the Holy Scriptures and Israel with Gideon Levitam. Gideon teaches God's Word from a Hebrew messianic perspective. For more information about this ministry, write to Holy Scriptures and Israel, Box 1411, Niagara-on-the-Lake, Ontario, L0S1J0, or visit our website at holyscripturesandisrael.com. You are also invited to Gideon's weekly Bible teaching on Fridays at 11 a.m. and 7 p.m., and Saturdays at 1 p.m. at Willowdale Christian Assembly Hall, 28 Martin Ross Avenue in Toronto. Holy Scriptures and Israel is made possible by your prayers and financial support. If you would like to support the program, visit holyscripturesandisrael.com. God bless you. Shalom, shalom.